It's time to talk gadgets. If you're having a problem with the technology in your life, do not worry any longer because Fevzi is here to make it all better. Aren't you, Fevzi?
I am. Hello.
Hello. you can get in touch with Fevzi, the number 03459 570057, or you can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Now, we always like to start with your product of the week. What have you gone for today?
Okay, I've gone for something from a company called Logitech, who are probably best known for making accessories for various gadgets. They've made something which is a charging station and stand for an iPad Pro. So there's, you know, the iPad Pro 10.5 and 12.9 and the old 9.7 inch are unique in that they, unlike other iPads, they have these three little dots on one edge, which is called a smart connector, but almost nothing uses it outside what Apple manufactures. So this is kind of unusual. So this thing is called the Logitech Base, B-A-S-E, and it's a stand, and it's made out of a single piece of aluminium, which is designed to simply just prop your iPad against it. But the unusual thing about it is when you put it down in what's called landscape modes, that's to say, you know, wide rather than tall, those three pins click onto three pins on the bottom of the stand and they keep it charged for you without you having to have a cable sticking out the side, which is useful for two reasons. One, the cable is unsightly. Two, you have to plug and unplug it. Actually, three reasons. And the third is that you can then use the cable for synchronization. So you can do two things at once on the iPad. So it's very stylish. It looks like it's made... if you've ever seen an iMac, you know the kind of footprint stand that it has. The L-shaped stand that holds the monitor bit of the iMac up. It looks like that. And you just prop the iPad up against it. It's the downside, I guess, is it's only got one angle. It's not an adjustable thing. It's a solid hunk of aluminium. But it is very stylish. It's heavy. It's not going anywhere. And it's really good for... A lot of people have started using their iPads as second screens to their computer. So there's an app you can get called Duet, which means that the iPad becomes a second screen to your desktop computer, be it PC or Mac. So you can have two screens working and it will show what the PC is doing, but still give you a touch interface. So imagine you're doing artwork or something like that using a PC application or a Mac application. You can actually draw and touch on the screen, but it will still display the contents of the desktop computer. And it doesn't just have to be a mirror of the main monitor. It can be a second one. So this is ideal for that sort of use, where it just props it up at that angle, which is ideal for viewing. It's not good for typing on or anything like that because it's quite a steep angle. It's almost completely upright. But it's excellent for that. Now, the price for this, the list price for this is about £90. But I've looked on some sort of well-known retailer websites this morning and I found it for a shade under 60.
Oh, and, always and, pays to shop around.
Yeah, because at a shade under 60, it gets 4 stars out of 5.
If it were more money, it
would go to 3 if it was 90, because that's quite a lot of money for a stand. But, you know, people spend over £1,000 on some of these devices, and so I guess sort of £60 to prop it up securely is not a bad deal.
Yeah. I tell you what I fancy, talking of new products, have you seen those tables where you can just pop your mobile phone down and it will charge?
Yeah, wireless charging, yeah.
Sorry, you say, for me, this is like brand new, like, wow,
so,
this is like
yeah. Well, actually, not
fresh
so,
technology.
Not so brand new. If you've got an electric toothbrush and you pop it on the base to recharge your electric toothbrush, you'll notice there are no wires connecting the base to the toothbrush because the toothbrush is sealed because it has to be watertight, so it can't have metal connectors on the underneath. It uses what's called induction.
I guess it's the same technology.
It is similar, yeah.
One I was looking at was like a bedside table.
Yeah.
So you'd pop your phone there. But then, obviously, the neurotic side of me then started thinking, oh, but is that safe?
You mean in terms of electromagnetic emissions?
Yeah, the fact that's all going on next to your head.
Yeah, you're a bit like me. I would say it's unlikely to be a healthy thing to do. It's unlikely to be good for your health.
No.
And the best that we can hope for is that it doesn't harm us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a bit like you. I don't like... There's a term for this. It's called electrosmog. This is the idea that we've got all this... You can't see it like normal smog, but all these electromagnetic waves bouncing around your home and, in fact, your head. So hence the need for tinfoil hats, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a concern. Also, those things, they charge more slowly. It's quite interesting because the new iPhone 8 and 8 Plus, which have just come out, and the iPhone 10, which will come out at the beginning of November, they all use wireless charging as well. And in order to make that possible, you may notice that these new phones have got glass backs on them.
Yeah, but I was reading about these glass backs. I mean, if you smash that, it's going to cost you an awful lot of money to replace.
It is, yeah. It very much is because... you know, glass is glass, and Apple say, yeah, this is the toughest glass ever used in a phone, because that's what Apple always say. It's the biggest, it's the best, it's the one.
I'm going to let my daughter test that one out for them, the amount of phones that she's managed to smash. Ooh.
Yeah, well, there's a company called iFixit, which does what's called a teardown whenever a new gadget comes out. A teardown is where they buy one and then disassemble it so you don't have to. They take it to bits, they work out what the weaknesses in it are and how repairable it is. And what they've found out with the iPhone and the iPhone 8 is that it is the glass back is glued with copious amounts of glue to a metal plate behind it. And through that come the wireless coils that allow it. So the problem with that is that's going to make it very expensive to repair, if not impossible for third parties, because how are they going to get that glass off once it's smashed? It's going to be difficult. And if you then buy the sort of the Apple cover for this, it's called Apple Care Plus, you can get two repairs done under the warranty, but there's an excess. Now, if you break the glass, the excess, the amount you have to pay towards the cost of repair is £25, but that's if you break the screen. If you break the back, then the excess is £79, even once you've got the warranty.
And you've paid for the cover on top of that.
Yeah, and it's more likely that if it was out of warranty and you were paying for it, it'd be about £350 to repair the back. So
I think I might just stick with my old iPhone for the time being.
Well,
then
you know what? The reason I mention this now is simply that the new iPhones are out. The 8 and the 8 Plus are out, and as I say, the 10 in November. A lot of people who order these start using them before they've got a case. And that's that kind of week or few days between you get yourself sorted out with a proper case is a time when your phone is vulnerable, because you're not used to it and it's not encased, it's not covered. And, you know, Sod's law is that we tend to drop them during that first week or two. So please be careful. And my advice is actually go and get a case really quickly. In fact, order one in advance, even if it's not the one you eventually keep. You know, buy it so you can return it if you're not happy with it. Just have a case on it all the time, because that's really going to be expensive. I mean, imagine shedding £350 out for some broken glass.
Yeah, no, thank you. Michael has given us a call from Emsworth. Michael, you want a faster laptop, is that right?
Well, it's the pauses that I get. I'm right in the attic of the house, and the main router is two stories down. I get pauses on the laptop. It's about 5 years old, and it's got all the browser history on it. And a friend said to me, you need to get rid of your browser history. And somebody else said, I need a booster on the the radio signal from
on the Wi-Fi.
Yes. You click onto something, and then for a few seconds, it'll lose the connection to the internet and then come back again.
Right.
You know, I'm hesitant. But once I get on to... Wikipedia, which I like going on, it's brilliant. It moves as fast as a racehorse, you know. But when it's just, you know, I'm clicking around things, it's that hesitance.
Yeah, I mean, is this a laptop? Did you say, Michael?
Yeah, 5 year old laptop.
If you were to bring the laptop right next to the router and use it, does that problem go away or does it persist?
It's better. It is better in the house. Really, right down by the router. Yes.
Yeah. It's better, but not 100% still. Is that right?
Well, it's really 100%. It doesn't happen down there.
All right. Okay. Because I was trying to decide whether the main problem is the signal of the Wi-Fi signal, or whether it is that the computer is slowing down for some other reason.
I've changed that. It's good with another laptop down there, but not mine. I haven't taken mine down, which has got all the history on it.
Okay. Well, that would be a good test to do, so we can see where the main problem is. Okay, but let's address both areas then, Michael. In terms of the Wi-Fi signal, there's a number of things that you could do. You could get a booster that will boost the signal. So it's a device that sits halfway between you and the router, and it picks up the signal and it amplifies it and sends it on. So, you know, it's a bit like someone sitting in the middle listening through one ear and then shouting from the midpoint, as it were. So
that goes into a socket. That one goes into a socket.
Yeah, that goes into a main socket, and it's got a receiver and a transmitter on it, rather like the router itself. And what it does is it receives the signal whilst it's still in good condition, say halfway through between the two, and then it repeats it. So it's literally a sort of Wi-Fi repeater type job. So you can go for that. The other alternative is, and this doesn't work for everyone, but you can buy devices that come in pairs and they plug into the mains wiring. So one of them plugs in to the mains wiring near your router, and then you plug the router into that device. So it sends the signal through that device, through the mains wiring, pops up at the other end where there's a plug at the other end in your attic. Did you say in your attic? And then it can either plug in via what's called an Ethernet cable or an internet cable into your laptop directly, or if you want to still use Wi-Fi, you can get one that generates a local Wi-Fi signal. So it's like a whole new hotspot in your attic. But that doesn't work for everybody. It depends on you know the spurs and loops on your house's wiring, what is connected to what. So again, the way to buy something like that would typically be online from a company that has a generous returns policy. So some retailers, Amazon, John Lewis, there are many others, will give you a generous returns policy so that if it doesn't work for you, you can return it, you know, free of charge.
Be careful
because the law changed a year or so ago, so you don't have as good a rights of return in law as you used to as a consumer, unfortunately. Retailers can now insist that an item is returned in a resaleable state, that's to say unused. But you know, there are still retailers who give you more than the basic law demands. So that's one aspect. So you can try and either boost the Wi-Fi signal or circumvent it by going through the mains wiring. You could run cables directly without any of this, but obviously then that requires you to run a length of wire from the router directly up to there. That would be technically that would be the best solution.
But
obviously that's gonna,
it's a bit unsightly though. You don't want a cable running up to your attic, do you?
I think
see if you can create that hot spot in your attic, and then if it doesn't work, at least you can go back to
is there some merit in getting rid of the browser history?
Let me come to that. Let me just tell you one more thing. Those devices that plug into the plugs at each end are known generically as home plugs, H-O-M-E plugs, and they're made by many manufacturers. Now, so with regard to speeding up the computer in general, the browser history in and of itself won't really be slowing anything down. What can slow a computer down? Well, there's many things, but if the hard drive is more than about 80% full, That will start slowing things down. That's because the operating system, be it Windows 7 or whatever it is, uses the hard drive to work as well as you. It uses it as a sort of scratch pad, a sort of working area. And if you start filling it beyond 80%, you will start to see that the performance will diminish. If you've also got a slower rotating hard drive as opposed to a solid state drive, is it the original drive in there?
Yeah, it's nothing modified.
So that will be what is now a relatively old-fashioned rotating hard drive. Those ones also slow down because of something known as fragmentation, where the files get fragmented and therefore take more time to read.
Somebody's mentioned that.
So you could try defragmenting the hard drive as well.
Not something I could do, I don't think, but go on.
It's actually not too hard. There's a defrag tool built into Windows, and it's fairly straightforward to do. And you may need to let it run for an hour, but what it does is it roots around, finds all the bits and joins them into one contiguous file, one file that goes from start to finish. So that, imagine the way that data is read off a hard drive is a bit like the way a stylus moves across a vinyl record. It reads it off as the disc rotates. Now imagine if a piece of music on a vinyl record was scattered onto different parts of the disc, you'd have to keep lifting up the needle, moving it across, putting it down, lifting it up, moving it across. And that's one of the things that really can slow a PC down, if the file is fragmented. So In the same way, if you defragment those files, you make them all continuous blocks of data, then reading that data back will become much quicker.
I love the way you give our listeners homework. Michael, enjoy your defragging and creating that hotspot in your attic. If you've got a question for our gadget detective, you can call 03-459-570057. More after the Turtles. The Turtles and Happy Together. We've run out of time, Fevzy. People can always get in touch with you on Twitter, though, can't they, and get some free tech advice?
Yes, come and say hello on Gadget Detective. Ask a question or shoot the breeze, whichever you prefer.
And you can also listen to the slot via Audio Boom. And they can take a listen to the podcast.
Yeah, it's called the Let's Talk About Tech BBC podcast, and we got the tech phone in, which is also, you can also hear it twice a month on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey.
Brilliant. Fevzy, thank you so much. Still to come today, we'll be playing Ali's Bit in the Middle after the news.
With news and information for Sussex.